It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tier 1 Caitlin in the chat wondered who I was rooting for in the NBA Finals. And I was keeping track of it yesterday. I was watching the Padres game, but around the same time. So I was watching Game 1. It was on our channel, ABC 10. And the Celtics, by the way, won easily, 107-89. It wasn't even that close. They took a 17-point lead after the first quarter and pretty much kept the Mavericks at arm's length throughout the game. I have no love for the Mavs. They're not one of my favorite teams, not a big Kyrie Irving fan. Mark Cuban, who I know sold the most of the team, but still, I think, kind of runs it. Not a huge fan of his either. But the Celtics are, you know, they're tied with the Lakers for the most titles, so I don't want to see them get one more than the Lakers. So got to cheer for the Mavs to see if they can at least prevent Boston from taking the all-time lead in most NBA championships. Doesn't look like they're going to be able to, though.
Just Dodger loving, Laker loving, just getting after it this morning.
Yeah, from what I've seen of the NBA playoffs over the last month and a half or whatever, the tandem of Luka and Kyrie have been so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Kyrie's like turned the clock back. It's like 2016 all over again. So I've been hoping to see
Luka's a very fun player.
And, he's a blast
to watch. I don't mind cheering for Luka Doncic. But Boston, if you had some questions about them, the return of Kristaps Porzingis last night was a huge difference maker. He was incredible in the first half.
They also haven't played in like a week. Very well rested.
They haven't played a week. He hasn't played in a month and a half. He's been out since the first series, I think. And they put him back in the lineup. It was like he hadn't missed a beat. And if they have that kind of performance from him, and then all the other options they have with Tatum and Brown, they're just the better team, and they're probably going to win the series. We'll see. It's just one game, but the Celtics were the favorites, and now they look like much bigger favorites after Game 1 of that series. But I am pulling for the Mavs and hoping that they do find a way to pull it out. A couple of injury updates that the Padres gave us yesterday. Obviously,
ooh, boy,
before the game, the Manny Machado injury news was kind of iffy from Mike Schilt. He said day to day, you know, got that hip flexor strain. They'll know more if he needs to go on the IL probably the next couple of days. Didn't think he would need to, but certainly didn't give any indication that Manny would be available to enter the game as he did last night as a pinch hitter in the eighth inning with a chance to tie the game or give the Padres the lead. Came up to pinch hit for Kyle Higashioka in the 9 slot. They knew he couldn't run, but they were willing to, give him a chance with his bat to hit something hard somewhere. Didn't hit a dribbler back to the mound, and that was the end of the rally. As always with Manny, he does not like to be left on the sidelines. He wants to play if possible. He told Mike Schilt as they went to the eighth inning, if you need me, I can go. And so Mike Schilt called on him. Kyle Higashioka had homered and had been swinging well. But you got to go with Manny in that situation, right? You've got to try it.
I think so. I mean, if he says he can go, you have to give him a give.
What are the mechanics of that? When did you know that he'd be available? How did you?
He came to me. He came to me at the beginning of the inning. He said, I can go. And I said, all right. So we checked with medical, and he said, he's not going to be able to run. I said, I don't think we're going to worry about that. And double-checked with him, and went down and got loose. And we came back in, and they went out for the mound visit, and we made the decision.
And now, they said he's probably not going to start today either. But yeah, I mean, some teams go through this. We've gone through this with Manny before, where they're not playing. Who was it? There was another team, and I want to say it was the third baseman, and it's escaping me right now. But he had sat for a really, really long time. Oh, it was Austin Riley for the Braves. When we were playing the Braves, they were talking about how Riley has not played in 9, 10, 11 days, and he was not pinch hitting. He really wasn't doing anything. And why not go on the IL, bring somebody else up? This is one of those things that I think you can argue about all day. If it's just going to be a couple days, you never want a guy on the IL, Ben, sitting there for a week that's like, I actually am more than healthy and ready to play. But you also can't have a guy languishing for 2 weeks going, hey, I can give you an A, B here or there. And especially, you know, if it looked like that one last night from Manny, and no ability to run down the baseline at all. With fear of injuring himself worse, I don't know what you do. I really don't. It's obviously always going to be player dependent, but the problem when that player is Manny Machado, he's going to tell you, I'm good. You know, let me swing it.
And I also think that even Mike Shildt, if your $35 million a year star player says,
I can play,
yeah, I can give you an at bat here, I don't think you can just say, no, I don't believe you. And you're not getting an opportunity here.
I mean,
you either put him on the injured list, or when he says he can give you a pinch hit,
and
you're going to use him to pinch hit. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation.
And a lot of fans, you know, will then turn on the player and say, well, that's a sell. You know, you're being selfish.
We had this conversation 2 years ago.
We did.
Manny
with the ankle
wouldn't go on the IL for almost 10 days. Then they brought him back, and he played for 3 weeks, not himself, because he wanted to be out there. Some people said it was inspirational. It helped push the Padres to the, you know, NLCS at the end of the year. Others said, why would you play a guy who can't run, who can't do what he normally does? Just let him sit him and let him get healthy.
Yeah.
You know, if it takes 2 weeks, it takes 2 weeks. A healthy player is better than a 60% player over that course of time.
Yeah, you're really damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you sit, you're Anthony Rendon. And if you play, you're a detriment to the team and you're selfish. It really is a no, and not just Manny, it's for almost every player that goes through something like this. I saw Braves fans crushing Austin Riley for this, crushing him, just murdering, go on the IL. Everybody's always screaming, get the surgery, go on the IL. And it's like, all right, man, damned if I do, damned if I don't. I thought that was a cool moment last night until the swing happened, and obviously really wanted that for Manny to come through.
Yeah, you know, I think you take a chance at a special thing happening there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if Manny comes through, Petco Park erupts, you know, you kind of get your mojo back in one swing.
Sure.
If Manny comes through like that, a Kurt Gibson-like moment, inspires everybody.
I didn't have a lot of confidence in it, you know, just based on how the season has gone so far. Of course, I wanted it for Manny, but I didn't have a lot of confidence in it there. And especially, I just was hoping one of those sinkers was left middle in like he likes it. And I visualized it in my head. I know where this pitch needs to be for him to do the most damage on it, and never really quite got to that spot. You know, the down and in was nasty from him, and I just thought, man, if he misses by a millimeter, man, he's going to put this ball in the stands. And of course, it didn't work out that way, and it's a bummer. But yeah, I think, you know, if he's not going to be in the lineup today, we got to make sure he's as close to 100%, which, you know, who is right now, but we got to make sure he's as close to 100% before he gets out playing third again.
Reading Kevin Acey's daily newsletter here, he's talking about that at bat. He says, then came a 92-mile-an-hour sinker practically in the middle of the zone that Machado topped, sending it toward Thompson, who threw it to first base for the inning-ending out. Quote, should have got a hit there. Would have been a lot better, Machado said. He left it there. That's the pitch I was looking for. I just got a little bit
got on
top of it. He says he couldn't run very well. Campusano was going to run for him had he gotten on base. But while Shildt says it's unlikely he starts today, it does at least look like that's a good sign that he got in the game. He won't be heading on the injured
list. So, again, I mean, here's an example. Roxanne in the chat says, excuse me, isn't the player employed by the team? Isn't it the manager's decision and not the player's?
that's sweet.
It's a bit of a naive take, Roxanne, and I don't want to be a jerk here, but it is a bit of a naive take. The answer is Well, yes, he is employed by the team, certainly. And
it's counterintuitive because the manager actually works for the players. The
it's
players
exactly don't right. Work for they the don't manager. Work for the manager, dude. It's not, again, this isn't travel ball, right? And again, like Ben said, if your $35 million a year player says, Skip, I can go, in no on no planet, and Nick says in the chat, or you took the bat out of a hot hitter and you ground out. Kyle Higashioka, who I love, and I think he's you know, gotten a bit of a bad rap at times. He doesn't get a lot of playing time. Yes, he homered earlier in the game, but you could poll every manager in the history of baseball, and they say, do you want 100% Kyle Higashioka at the dish, or do you want 75% Manny Machado at the dish? Kyle or Nick, I promise you, it will be the biggest landslide that you've ever seen, and I don't know if Higgy gets one vote. You could poll 1,000 managers. It would be 1,000-0 that you let Manny Machado, if he says he can go, swing it in that instance. You know that. You know that. You know that. That's not something that really should have to be explained. And I would feel like an absolute jackass asking Mike Shildt that question later. It's such a no-brainer. And but again, if he's going to not be able to run at all or kind of barely swing, I don't think he should you know... He may himself, he's a human being, got caught up in the moment and goes, I can do this. I can get it. I can get one swing off. And it wasn't a good one.
Kind of like the question, does Woods work for Adam or does Adam work for Woods? Never quite sure of
that. That's a very good comp.
Never quite sure. All right, we have one more injury update. Need a contestant for Take on Woods. Call now because we got to get our game going here in like 60 seconds. Call in your chance to win. We got those tickets. One more day of tickets to the Kings of Late Night, including Jay Leno at the San Diego County Fair. Got to Take on Woods, though, in our musical trivia challenge, 833-288-0973. Call now, 833-288-0973 for your chance to play and win. We heard from Joe Musgrove from the horse's mouth himself about his elbow injury. Said he got an MRI, and it is a bone spur in his elbow and a bone bruise in his elbow. He had two injections, one a PRP.
PRP, baby.
And the other a cortisone shot. They will now rest it for 2 weeks to allow the PRP to do its thing.
It's magic.
You know, the cortisone to hopefully reduce all the inflammation. And then if things are feeling good in a couple of weeks, Joe can start throwing program again. Obviously, he won't be right on the mound. That'll probably be another couple of week process. And if all goes well, it's a month. If it doesn't go well, Joe said arthroscopic surgery is still a possibility. That, of course, would require a longer recovery time and put, obviously, most of the rest of the season in jeopardy if he does need to go under the knife, or the arthroscope at least. So we'll cross our fingers that the PRP, which is a pretty common technique now. Yu Darvish got it, other players get it, and it has been effective. It's evolving and advancing medical science that baseball is using a lot here, that hopefully Joe will see some of those benefits as well and can get it back on the mound and be Joe Musgrove for the second half of the season.
That's what QC Kinetics is.
It is.
I mean, yeah.
PRP.
I'm a big fan of it, but I'm also, you're not counting on me to go out and throw seven innings either. You know what I mean? It's worked for me. This is just a really, really unfortunate season for Joe.
Brandon says, Woods works for Adam, but Bald Reindel works for Woods.
That's exactly right.
That's a good one, Brandon.
Good point.
All right, let's get to our game. It's time to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
Go, Kevin. You are in today as our contestant on Take on Woods. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes, and you don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Let's get right to it. Categories today. It's Not False. Ooh, Ooh, I Know This One. That was our bands with double O's in their name. And we've got House Party, which is an all 2 second song category. So It's Not False, Ooh, Ooh, I Know This One, or House Party. Kevin, what would you like to play?
How about the ooh, ooh one?
Ooh, ooh, I Know This One. All right, today on Take on Woods, we are looking for five bands with a double O in their name. You'll have 60 seconds, five questions. Pass if you don't know one. First question's the two-second song. You'll need to give me the song title and that artist with a double O in their name. We'll compare your score to Woods, and if you beat or tie him, we'll give you the tickets to the Kings of Late Night at the San Diego County Fair on June 21st. Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, Arsenio Hall, and more. Tickets at sdfair.com. Kevin, you ready to play?
I'm ready. I'll even throw something in. If I lose, I'll give Woods some avocados.
Oh, Kevin. All right. Good luck to you. I know which Kevin this is now. Paul, you ready to go?
Yes.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Kevin. Let's take on Woods.
Gosh, I've heard that one before. But why is it so much easier? You're not on the radio.
You're using too much time here, Kevin. Say pass. What's the name of the band whose breakthrough 1995 single was named Name?
Pass.
Even the members of which band aren't sure of the reason behind the name of their band, which released The Reason in late 2003?
Pass.
All right, in this question, you need to tell me the 60s English rockers behind hits including Question and Nights in White Satin.
What was their name? God, this is horrible. I think I've just lost everything.
Yeah. Which Irish band wrote their biggest hit, I Don't Like Mondays, about a 1979 school shooting at Grover Cleveland?
That's the Boomtown Rap.
Correct. Go back to our two-second song. You know this one, Kevin. Come on.
I know.
You got one. You're not out. You got one. Hang on. That was What a Fool Believes, of course, like my favorite song by the Doobie Brothers. Name is by the Goo Goo Dolls. The Reason is Hoobastank. And Nights in White Satin, you should have gotten that one, Kevin. It's the Moody Blues. You did get the Boomtown Rats, though, so just 1 point there for Kevin. You never want to give up, though. You want to fight all the way to the end. All right, Kevin's score is locked in. Woods?
Yes.
60 seconds back on the clock. Headphones on. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Kevin.
What a Fool Believes, Michael McDonald.
Incorrect.
Oh, you turd.
What's the name of the band whose breakthrough 1995 single was named Name?
Goo Goo Dolls.
Correct. Even the members of the band aren't sure of the reason behind the name of their band, which released The Reason in late 2000.
Hoobastank.
Correct. In this question, you need to tell me the 60s English rockers behind the hits including Question and Nights in White Satin.
The Moody Blues.
Correct. Which Irish band wrote their biggest hit, I Don't Like Mondays, about a 1979 school shooting at Grover Cleveland Elementary here in San Diego?
Dude, I know this one. This is going to drive me nuts. What is the category?
Tricky.
The Happy Mondays.
No, it's the Boomtown Rats. But you didn't win 3-1. Ooh. You actually Kevin got that one, didn't get the
Boomtown
other ones.
Rats.
It's not Michael McDonald, it's the Doobie
the
Brothers.
Doobie
which
Brothers.
Is important because the category is bands with a double O in their name. Doobie
what
Brothers.
What a fool believes.
Not quite Michael McDonald, but
not quite.
Goo Goo Dolls, Hoobastank, Moody Blues.
God.
Congratulations, Woods.
Thank you.
Kevin's going to send you some avocados for your victory.
The Hoobastank.
Hoobastank, the reason.
Your Hoobastanks. What a beautiful song
there it
this
is.
I love it so much.
I know, it's embarrassing.
We've got Don't Do This and Do This coming up next.
Oh! Case of... mistaken identity.
Yes.
Oh,
when
guys.
Interviewing somebody, make sure they're
the right
the person you think they are.
Oh, and
I don't know
if you saw this, but the United States pulled off one of the biggest upsets in sports yesterday, and I don't think many people even realized it happened. So.
Or were prepared for it at all.
We will get to that next after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. If you haven't been, please check it out. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. And we have a lot of quality tacos in San Diego, and theirs are right up there near the top, if not at the top. KraftTaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. KraftTaco.com. Well, we already discussed the game a little bit, but I did want to just talk a little bit more about the call that ended last night's Padres game.
It was a rough one.
Really bad call by home plate umpire Eric Bacchus. And as Paulie mentioned, he goes, I don't remember seeing that guy.
He just graduated high school.
He looks really, really looks like young.
Yeah.
He, let's see, how old is he? He was born in 1990. So he's pretty young for an umpire. He has been in the league only since the pandemic. He joined as a major league umpire in 2020 at age 29. So he's now 33 years old. So this is just his fourth season, or start of his fifth season in the big leagues. I don't really remember that much about him, but he has been in the league a couple of years. Had also called Kyle Higashioka out on a third strike that was probably even further outside. It wasn't as high as Jake's, it was
other side
on the other side, and it was maybe 8 to 10 inches outside. But the game comes obviously down with the tying run at second base. Jake works a very long at bat against Paul Sewald.
Fouls
some pitches off.
Missed a couple
single
cookies.
Ties it. A home run wins it. Yeah, the first two pitches were the ones to hit. But he's about to work the count full on a pitch that is way outside and a little bit up. But instead, the game ends and Mudd lost his mind on TV last night.
This should actually be a doo-doo this for Mudd. This was 100%. Great.
Strike three call. And that ends the ball game, and that was not close to being a strike.
Brutal. Horrible. Took the bat right out of the kid's hands.
Ooh.
Wasn't even close.
like Schilt out there arguing that very point that this game is over.
Ouch.
Oh, they didn't. You didn't put the part in where Mudd goes, "You got to be shaving me," and that's the... Scared me to death, by the way.
You got to be shaving me.
Oh, scared me. I'm like, bro, come on. Tell me. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, Mudd. It's not worth it, man.
Well, it's Padres.tv. He can say whatever he wants, right? No FCC on Padres.tv.
Is that true?
I don't know. It's please over cable.
Please have me in the booth.
Oh, that.
Please have me in the booth.
I don't think the Padres would be happy with him, but I don't think they'd be fined or anything if he did say the word.
You got to be shaving me. Fantastic. I've never heard that before. It did.
I've heard Mudd.
Oh, yeah? I've never heard him say you got to be shaving me. Okay. Yeah. Whew, I must have missed it. All right. This sucks, dude. This sucks so bad. Golf Channel yesterday, they go down and they're working a pro-am. Where was this pro-am at?
This was not the PGA Tour. This was some other tour.
It was a pro-am, though.
Yeah, it was some sort of pro-am.
Professionals playing along with amateurs. Yeah. And this young reporter here thought she was interviewing former Texas quarterback Vince Young and joins him on a walk down the fairway. But the problem was it was not Vince Young, but she thinks that it is. Listen to this.
Vince Young playing this week, and he's down with Warren.
Nope.
In six seasons in the NFL, arguably one of the best NCAA quarterbacks of all time at Texas, picked up golf about 4 years ago. What's the biggest shift you make going from the ultimate team to now the ultimate individual sport?
Now, I apologize. You have the wrong person. I'm Everett Sands over on the first city. So, which I'm a football coach.
Pause. And she doesn't say, oh my gosh, I am so sorry.
As a television host, I am dying inside at this moment. Embarrassment. Oh.
It makes your everything clench up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It hurts, down below, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the credit in the world to him.
Yes, for 100%. For not being
taking that the way he did.
Yeah.
He totally he gave the pregnant pause there for her to just be like, I'm so sorry. Let's go back
I'm
to
an
you
idiot.
Guys.
Back to you, Jason.
Cut it. No,
they
kept going.
The thing is, the great thing about golf is that I'm not only competing against myself, but I'm competing against everybody else.
Cut it right there.
This is your first pro-am ever played, and what's the best part of being out here?
Just going to keep grinding through it.
Being out here is a great thing, and having an opportunity to play with some professional golfers is a intimidating thing, but also a great thing.
Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I have a confession to make.
What? You've done it?
Never told anybody this.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It wasn't live on television, but I did it once. It was I was probably about 20 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Working for Channel 10, covering the Farmers Insurance Open. It was after, the first round, and I was looking for one of the early leaders, Davis Love III.
Okay.
And apparently, I don't remember who the golfer was. There was another tall kind of guy who looked like him. And I went up and started interviewing him, thinking he was Davis Love III. And he wasn't. And he had to correct me. And it was never spoken of again. And I walked away very sheepishly and embarrassed.
Walk me through it.
I've tried to block out the specific memory, but I think it's just something like,
now, did you do the bit where you're like, I'm joined by Davis Love?
I was just throwing a question out. I was like, can you tell me about your round? You're 2 strokes off the lead. And, and then all of a sudden you can see kind of him thinking like, who do you think I am? And it's like, Davis Love? No. No, I'm not. I'm so-and-so, whoever it was.
Now, you weren't live, though.
No, it was just trying to get some sound for later, so I didn't have to wear the embarrassment on television, but it happened.
Come here.
It was very stressful, though.
Come on. Get your arms around there.
Hey, Ben. It's not your fault.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. All right. I just absolved of that one.
Does it feel good a little bit to get it off your chest?
Yeah.
Does it?
I also realized that probably most people would know what Davis Love III looked like versus everybody else either. So,
do you ever figure out who he was?
I don't think so.
That sucks so bad, man.
Yeah, it's such not a good feeling.
It's a gnarly feeling.
That's why when I saw that clip, it just brought back some bad memories there.
Mm-hmm. I did the same. I mean, I didn't mistake them, but I with the Pixies, when I interviewed the Pixies, like notoriously horrific interview. They were very kind after. But I walked out of the...
You thought they were AC/DC.
No. Hey, I'm talking about AC/DC. Why do you guys play the same song every time? I was so intimidated. And I walked out of there. And my promo, Jack, that was the first time I ever got to hang with Jack, who's now like one of my best friends on the planet. And I just put my head down. He put his arm around me. He goes, "It was fine." And I go, "It wasn't fine. It was effing terrible. I had a chance to interview the Pixies, and I just crapped down my leg, man." He's like, "Let's go get you a drink. You're good. Just have a couple drinks, and you'll be fine." Oh my lord, dude! Do you guys remember when Adam screamed at the owner of the San Diego Padres after the thing, and then? He couldn't hear, so yeah. He had to scream it again at him. I mean, that was, at least he didn't think it was somebody else.
Yeah, at least he wasn't yelling at Tom Seidler or something.
Right.
Yeah,
yes, so. He gets Tom. Hey, it was an extra sweet!
Clinching game today. It could not have been better. Congratulations to our players. Is it extra sweet because it was against the Dodgers?
What?
Sorry, King. What? Is it extra sweet because this is against the Dodgers?
Maybe the moment.
A little bit.
Maybe the moment. Bit. Maybe the best moment on this program. The giddiness of when we found it on Monday and when we heard it. Mm. I just don't know that I'll ever be able to replicate that. All right. And then, Benny, for doo-doo,
what did you have? Yes.
DD mega doo-doo.
So, in most team sports, other than soccer, the United States is usually a big favorite, but not in the case of the sport of cricket, where Pakistan is one of the biggest powerhouses in the world, and the U.S. is like, one of the tiny non-factors. But yesterday at the World Cup, the United States pulled off one of the biggest upsets in cricket history when they defeated Pakistan.
Crazy.
In the group stage of the qualifying cricket teams. I read the story on ESPN and I realized I thought I sort of understood cricket. I don't understand it at all. It went to a super over, which I think it's kind of like an extra inning at the end, and whoever scores the more wickets or the runs wins it, and the U.S. went first, and they had 19, and then they held Pakistan to 13, and they ended up winning the match or the test or whatever it's called. But this was, people said, this is like significant in the world of cricket.
Well, this is funny, too, because of the discourse all week between baseball fans and cricket fans, and the cricket fans across the world were ragging on baseball, and you can never do this. The U.S. goes and beats the powerhouse of cricket, Pakistan, and I mean, it's just, we lament some of the bad things about sports. That's one of the good things about sports right there.
So, John Boy has been into cricket. He kind of explained, like, what would be the equivalent? He said, like a double-A team beating the Phillies. Like, not wholly impossible, but really, really unlikely for it to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we would be remiss if we did not shout out the utter dominance of the Oklahoma Sooners women's softball team, who have just won their fourth consecutive national championship in a row, beating Texas last night. Just sheer dominance from the OU women's team.
Imagine any fourth-year seniors on that team.
What a run! Four rings.
Like, I mean, I always wonder, like, what would it have been like to be on those John Wooden UCLA basketball teams that won every year? You can't do it nowadays, though, with recruiting and NIL and everything. It's so hard to put together a good team year in and year out.
You say that.
They do it in Oklahoma. That's Patty Gasso is the coach. She's won eight titles now.
Eight!
At Oklahoma. Second most all-time to UCLA. And, of course, they beat Texas in the final. Both of those teams now move over to the SEC as that wraps up Big 12 all-time in their rivalry. It just moves right over to the SEC.
Freaking four-peat, man. Just insane.
That is Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. We will talk some more Padres baseball when we come back. Obviously, they have lost five in a row for the second time this season.
Ooh.
How dire is it, though, is the question. We'll come back next on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away. Stevie Wonder Friday morning.
I wonder. Stevie here wonders when the Padres will ever win a game again. When will it be?
I want, can you just for a moment, this segment.
I can't. know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Take your Padres fan hat off for a second. Let's pretend we are analyzing a team that plays 1,000 miles away. We're just baseball, fine, 3,000, wherever.
Okay.
We're just baseball, or we're on the other side of the country, and we're doing a show right now in Charlotte.
Raleigh-Durham.
That's funny. We both went with North Carolina, because we're big in North Carolina.
We're huge in North Carolina. Right. Huge.
Jordan, North Carolina. Yeah. We're in your town. We're doing a local show on the station in the Triangle there in Raleigh-Durham. And we decide we're going to talk a segment of Padres baseball.
Sure, why not?
How do we approach this team right now? You're going to do that right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, North Carolina! It's Friday morning here on The Fan, 97.3 in Raleigh-Durham.
Welcome into Booger and Cheese!
Carolina Panthers football, off-season workouts. We'll talk about those in our next segment. But right now, let's talk a little baseball. And we are looking at the San Diego Padres right
why?
Now.
Stupid. All right, what's happening? What are you doing?
How do you objectively look at this team?
Objectively, you look at it, just you say look they're and average. It's just the average.
You look and
baseball
see. Okay,
team.
They've lost five in a row. That's ugly, especially with the Angels being three of them. Yeah. That's pretty bad, right? But then I look at the National League standings, and I go, well, they're not really better or worse than most of the teams. Right there in the National League. They're just one of a bunch of middling teams right now in the National League. Now, I look at this losing streak and I go, should they be really concerned about these games? Like, they haven't been blown out, that's for sure. They lost by one run every single time, except for a two-run loss. Is this a team that you think, oh man, their season is over? Or are you looking and going, it's not really that big of a deal. It's just a normal five-game losing streak where they haven't happened to get the big hits when they needed to get the big hits. It'll happen to every team at some point. What do you really think about the Padres right now?
Carlos says, I lived in North Carolina for 6 years. Zero baseball talk. So we would be some groundbreaking MFers out in North Carolina talking baseball.
There wasn't any baseball talk here until we got here either.
That's
so
fair enough.
Let's go out to John and Charlotte. Hey, who the hell are the Padres?
What the hell is a Padre? I think across the country, I mean, the casual baseball fan looks at it and goes, okay, five-game losing streak, two games below 500, that's just an average baseball team. I honestly don't know if you went up to a casual baseball fan here in San Diego, legit. Like, hey, do you watch baseball? Eh, not much. Been to a couple games, but don't watch on TV. Don't listen to anybody talk about it. I like going to Petco Park. I like Cutwaters. You know, I like going out every now and then, Friday night, beer fest, whatever. If you ask them, hey, how are the Padres doing right now? And they'd say, oh, mm-hmm. I've heard they're... If I told them, hey, they've lost five in a row, they're two games below 500, they'd go, oh, sounds about right. That's Padres... You know, that's been the kind of overarching theme here. You asked earlier in the week what their identity is and what their brand is. And, you know, honestly, it's keeping the faith for a winner, you know, here in San Diego. And I think mediocre is really, that's what they are. They're a mediocre team right now, and their record says so. But in context, there's a buttload of other mediocre teams in the NL right now, which, even in their mediocrity, still gives them a chance. So as long as you have a chance, you're not out of it yet. Yeah, you keep fighting. You keep, you know, hoping for the best. But as they say, hope is not a strategy.
Yeah, I feel like what the Padres did this week is they missed a great opportunity where they could have actually separated themselves from the other mediocre teams.
Absolutely, man. And those other teams also have missed that opportunity. Diamondbacks, though, getting a win against a team that their Booger and Twitch, whoever those guys
Snot
are,
and Storch.
Snot and Storch, they're on the radio this morning saying, that's exactly what we needed to do. This is the team we needed to beat last night. Because we got to get our train going. We want to get back to the World Series. And good to see Corbin Carroll get some knocks and, you know, whatever else. That's what they're talking about is they looked at the Padres as a team that they needed to get right against that had lost four in a row.
Speaking of Corbin Carroll, got a text last night from my old photographer, Jeff LaValle. He was mad that Mike Schilt pulled Randy Vasquez with two outs cruising, two outs in the seventh, nobody on, and he pulled him for Jeremiah Estrada, and then Estrada immediately gave to Corbin Carroll and the what turned out to be the game-winning single to Ketel Marte. And I know Jurickson booted that ball. I think it was a very low chance he was going to throw Corbin Carroll out at the plate.
Give yourself a chance, I guess. But kicked that thing 100 yards.
You had no chance after you kicked it to the foul line.
Yeah.
But he said, why would you take a pitcher out who was retired, what, like 16 of his last 17 or something like that?
Yeah, the two-out switches are a little bit odd. We've seen it a lot from the skip.
But is that something you would have been critical of? It didn't work, clearly.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, if I have an arm that I think is a better fit for getting the next guy out, I'm probably going to go to it and rest easy, even if it doesn't work out.
My text back to Jeff was, I agreed with the move before he made it, because Corbin Carroll had put good swings every time on Randy Vasquez. This would be his fourth time getting to look at him.
Yep.
And you got Jeremiah Estrada warm and ready in the bullpen,
and he's been
your second-best reliever all season long with an ERA under one.
Yeah, I think you can sleep with that. I think you can sleep with that move at night. I really do. And, again, that is a perfect example of hindsight being 20-20. You don't know what, like you said, the fourth time through, Corbin Carroll had hit some balls well. Yeah, man, somebody said, well, what about a lefty? And I looked up Marte's splits. He rakes lefties. He's got 9 homers off lefties and 3 off of righties this season. So, baseball's a weird sport. Bullpen decisions like that, when you can get a fresh electric arm in, just to make sure nothing happens, I'm okay with the move. Obviously, the result, the process was good. The result was not. I'm fine with that, man. I'm more mad about bunting and getting picked off bases.
We'll have Mike Shildt join us for the manager's report coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. It'll certainly be. We've talked to him after some bad weeks and losing streaks. This is obviously the first time we've gone through an entire week here without a single San Diego Padres victory.
Yeah, that's true.
They have not won since last Saturday. We had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. All 5 losses, all 5 shows this week coming after Padres' losses.
It hasn't been my favorite.
It doesn't make for the most enjoyable.
No.
For at least, the three of us.
I'm sure he's not in a good mood either. no skipper wants to drop 5 straight, but.
He was insistent last night, again, though, that things are going to be fine.
Okay.
He said it. Do we have that bite, Paulie? Yeah. Mike Shildt, once again. And I was not surprised by this, but wanted to tamp down the talk of panic or the talk of a team in a free fall. He said he had no worries whatsoever. This team is going to be fine.
I mean, that's the thing about it. End result wasn't there. Hadn't been there the last couple games, and we're all disappointed in it. I love this club, man. These guys show up. They're ballers, man. They get after it. We haven't won a few. It's not going to last. This club's going to be just fine. I'd sit here and I could tell you if I had some concern, if it wasn't guys going through the motions, giving the bats away, preparation wasn't good, competition wasn't involved. These guys aren't giving away anything, and tonight they showed up in front of a nice crowd again and got down early. And, look at Randy Vasquez. Good for him, man. This guy threw his tail off. Homer, 2-run homer, down 3-0. We could have this woes me. Here we go again. It's got pitched into, getting 2 outs into the 7th. Did a tremendous job and set us up for success, quite honestly. And our guys kept scratching and calling. And, the fact of the matter is we do need to be better with runners in scoring position. 1-for-14 is just not going to make it happen. So, a lot of good things, not enough. But we'll be ready to go tomorrow.
All right, they did, fight back for a 3-0 deficit. I think a lot of us thought once it was 3-0, like, okay, this is the one where they really get hammered today. They're going to lose 9-1 or something. And they came back to tie the game and had plenty of chances to go ahead and win. So in that sense, he's correct. The one thing that I don't totally believe, because I haven't seen it from Mike Shildt, he said in that soundbite, hey, if they were playing poorly, I would tell you. He said, if they were doing things that I didn't think were right, I would tell you. I have not heard Mike Shildt tell us anything other than the positives from his baseball team so far. Maybe he did. Maybe in his 3 years with the Cardinals, there were stretches where he was like ranting, going, I hate what I'm seeing right now from our team. We need to change up stuff. And I don't know. I wasn't following him closely enough to see whether he did that or not. But so far in his tenure as Padres manager, there's never been a game or a loss where he said that he felt like his team was really in a bad spot and, you know, something needed to change. It's always, no, things are okay. We just, you know, came up on the short end. And they're going to be okay.
Yes, it remains to be seen.
We will come back. Jordan Schusterman, Cespedes Family Barbecue will join us coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Stevie Wonder on a Friday morning.
I wonder, Stevie here wonders when the Padres will ever win a game again. When will it be?
Can you just for a moment, segment.
I can't. Know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Take your Padres fan hat off for a second. Let's pretend we are analyzing a team that plays 1,000 miles away. We're just
so in
regular baseball, fine, 3,000, wherever.
Okay.
We're just baseball, or we're on the other side of the country, and we're doing a show right now in Charlotte.
Raleigh, Durham.
That's funny. We both went with North Carolina, because we're big in North Carolina.
We're huge in North Carolina. Right. Huge.
Jordan, North Carolina. Yeah. We're in your town. We're doing a local show on the station in the Triangle there in Raleigh, Durham. And we decide we're going to talk a segment of Padres baseball.
Sure, why not?
How do we approach this team right now? You're going to do that right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, North Carolina! It's Friday morning here on The Fan, 97.3 in Raleigh, Durham.
Welcome into Booger and Cheese!
Carolina Panthers football, off-season workouts. We'll talk about those in our next segment. But right now, let's talk a little baseball. And we are looking at the San Diego Padres right
now.
Stupid. All right, what's happening? What are you doing?
How do you objectively look at this team?
Objectively, you look at it, just say they're average. It's just the average.
You look and
baseball
see, okay,
team.
They've lost five in a row. That's ugly. Especially with the Angels being three of them. Yeah. That's pretty bad, right? But then I look at the National League standings and I go, well, they're not really better or worse than most of the teams right there in the National League. They're just one of a bunch of middling teams right now in the National League. Now I look at this losing streak and I go, should they be really concerned about these games? Like, they haven't been blown out, that's for sure. They lost by one run every single time, except for a two-run loss. Is this a team that you think, oh man, their season is over? Or are you looking and going, it's not really that big of a deal? It's just a normal five-game losing streak where they haven't happened to get the big hits when they needed to get the big hits. It'll happen to every team at some point. What do you really think about the Padres right now?
Carlos says, I lived in North Carolina for 6 years. Zero baseball talk. So we would be some groundbreaking MFers out in North Carolina talking baseball.
There wasn't any baseball talk here until we got here either.
That's
so
fair enough.
Let's go out to John and Charlotte. Hey, who the hell are the Padres?
What the hell is a Padre?
I think across the country, I mean, the casual baseball fan looks at it and goes, okay, five-game losing streak, 2 games below .500, that's just an average baseball team. I honestly don't know if you went up to a casual baseball fan here in San Diego, legit, like, hey, do you watch baseball? Not much. Been to a couple games, but don't watch on TV, don't listen to anybody talk about it. I like going to Petco Park, I like Cutwaters, you know, I like going out every now and then, Friday night, beer fest, whatever. If you ask them, hey, how are the Padres doing right now? And they'd say, I've heard if I told them, hey, they've lost five in a row, they're 2 games below .500, they'd go, sounds about right. That's Padres, you know, that's been the kind of overarching theme here. You asked earlier in the week what their identity is and what their brand is. And, you know, honestly, it's keeping the faith for a winner, you know, here in San Diego. And I think mediocre is really, that's what they are. They're a mediocre team right now, and their record says so. But in context, there's a buttload of other mediocre teams in the NL right now, which, even in their mediocrity, still gives them a chance. So as long as you have a chance, you're not out of it yet, yeah, you keep fighting, you keep, you know, hoping for the best. But as they say, hope is not a strategy.
Yeah, I feel like what the Padres did this week is they missed a great opportunity where they could have actually separated themselves from the other mediocre teams.
Absolutely, man. And those other teams also have missed that opportunity. Diamondbacks, though, getting a win against a team that their Booger and Twitch, whoever those guys
Snot
are, Snot and Storch, they're on the radio this morning saying, that's exactly what we needed to do. This is the team we needed to beat last night because we got to get our train going. We want to get back to the World Series. And good to see Corbin Carroll get some knocks and, you know, whatever else. That's what they're talking about is they looked at the Padres as a team that they needed to get right against that had lost four in a row.
Speaking of Corbin Carroll, got a text last night from my my old photographer, Jeff LaValle. He was mad that Mike Shildt pulled Randy Vasquez with two outs cruising, two outs in the seventh, nobody on, and he pulled him for Jeremiah Estrada, and then Estrada immediately gave to Corbin Carroll and the what turned out to be the game-winning single to Ketel Marte. And I know Jurickson booted that ball. I think it was a very low chance he was going to throw Corbin Carroll out at the plate.
Give yourself a chance, I guess. He kicked that thing 100 yards.
Yeah, no chance after you kicked it to the foul line.
Yeah.
But he said, why would you take a pitcher out who has retired, what, like 16 of his last 17 or something like that?
Yeah, the two-out switches are a little bit odd. We've seen it a lot from the skip.
But is that something you would have been critical of? It didn't work, clearly.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, if I have an arm that I think is a better fit for getting the next guy out, I'm probably going to go to it and rest easy, even if it doesn't work out.
My text back to Jeff was, I agreed with the move before he made it, because Corbin Carroll had put good swings every time on Randy Vasquez.
On Vasquez.
This would be his fourth time getting to look at him.
Yep.
And you got Jeremiah Estrada warm.
Correct.
And ready in the bullpen,
no
and he's been
really.
Your second best reliever all season long with an ERA under one.
Yeah, I think you can sleep with that. I think you can sleep with that move at night. I really do. And again, that is a perfect example of hindsight being 20/20. You don't know what, like you said, the fourth time through, Corbin Carroll had hit some balls well. Yeah, man, I just, you know, somebody said, well, what about a lefty? And I looked up Marte's splits. He rakes lefties. He's got 9 homers off lefties and 3 off of righties this season. So, you know, baseball's a weird sport. Bullpen decisions like that, when you can get a fresh electric arm in, just to make sure nothing happens, I'm okay with the move. Obviously, the result, you know, the process was good. The result was not. I'm fine with that, man. I'm more mad about bunting and getting picked off bases.
We'll have Mike Shildt join us for the manager's report coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. It'll certainly be, we've talked to him after some bad, you know, bad weeks and losing streaks. This is obviously the first time we've gone through an entire week here without a single San Diego Padres victory.
Yeah, that's true.
They have not won since last Saturday. We had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. All 5 losses, all 5 shows this week coming after Padres' losses.
It hasn't been my favorite.
It doesn't make for the most enjoyable.
No.
For at least, the three of us.
I'm sure he's not in a good mood either. You know, no skipper wants to drop 5 straight, but.
He was insistent last night, again, though, that things are going to be fine.
Okay.
He said it. Do we have that bite, Paulie? Yeah. Mike Shildt, once again. And I was not surprised by this, but wanted to tamp down the talk of panic or the talk of a team in a free fall. He said no, he had no worries whatsoever. This team is going to be fine.
I mean, that's the thing about it. You know, end result wasn't there. Hadn't been there the last couple games, and, you know, we're all disappointed in it. I love this club, man. These guys show up. They're ballers, man. They get after it. You know, we haven't won a few. It's not going to last. This club's going to be just fine. You know, I'd sit here and I could tell you if I had some concern, if it wasn't guys going through the motions, giving the bats away, preparation wasn't good, competition wasn't involved. These guys aren't giving away anything, you know. And tonight they showed up in front of a nice crowd again and got down early. And, you know, look at Randy Vasquez. Good for him, man. This guy threw his tail off. Homer, 2-run homer, down 3-0. You know, we could have this woes me. Here we go again. It's got pitched into, you know, getting 2 outs into the 7th. Did a tremendous job and set us up for success, quite honestly. And our guys kept scratching and calling. And, you know, the fact of the matter is we do need to be better with runners in scoring position. You know, 1-for-14 is just not going to make it happen. So, but, you know, a lot of good things, not enough. But we'll be ready to go tomorrow.
All right. They did, you know, fight back for a 3-0 deficit. I think a lot of us thought once it was 3-0, like, okay, this is the one where they really get hammered today. They're going to lose 9-1 or something. And they came back to tie the game and had plenty of chances to go ahead and win. So in that sense, he's correct. The one thing that I don't totally believe, because I haven't seen it from Mike Schilt, he said in that soundbite, hey, if they were playing poorly, I would tell you. He said, if they were given, if they were doing things that I didn't think were right, I would tell you. I have not heard Mike Schilt tell us anything other than the positives from his baseball team so far. Maybe he did. Maybe in his 3 years with the Cardinals, there were stretches where he was like ranting, going, I hate what I'm seeing right now from our team. We need to change up stuff. And I don't know. I wasn't following him closely enough to see whether he did that or not. But so far in his tenure as Padres manager, there's never been a game or a loss where he said that he felt like his team was really in a bad spot and, you know, something needed to change. It's always, no, things are okay. We just, you know, came up on the short end and they're going to be okay.
Yes, it remains to be seen.
We will come back. Jordan Schusterman, Cespedes Family Barbecue will join us coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.